Well, hey, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. Thanks so much for joining us today on the DriveCast. This past Sunday, as we finished up the Wide Open World Missions series, looking at this big idea that we say yes because God is faithful, we spent time in the book of Ruth. And maybe an interesting missional tie. I can take the blame for that one. But I felt like the Lord at Marion gave us just some cool insight in chapter one that I think is actually really helpful missionally as we talk about, hey, how do we engage in the Great Commission? How do we say yes? How do we live out this big idea that we say yes because God is faithful? And I have added occasionally to the end of that, not because we are able. I think that's a real key when it comes to engaging in the Great Commission. We engage because God is doing it, because God is working, because God is going to save people. And it's not up to our abilities. Yes, God has uniquely gifted us by the power of His Spirit, but we say yes because God is going before us. God is going within us. So all that to say, a couple of key things within Ruth chapter one that I think actually challenge us and hopefully help us say yes to this call to go and make disciples. So within chapter one, the author designates six verses, which I think is fascinating, to this move from Bethlehem to Moab. And then he designates 12 verses, in those six verses, he also talks about the death of Naomi's husband and the death of her two sons. So all that gets the move, the three deaths, all of that gets six verses. 12 verses, however, are designated to this dialogue between Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And this dialogue is as she hears that the famine in Bethlehem is over, which was the cause of their move to Moab in the first place, she decides, I'm going to return to Bethlehem. But she says repeatedly to her daughters-in-law, don't come with me, go back to your homes, go back to your families. Now, after she's said this twice, one of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, agrees. She leaves. She goes back home, but Ruth clings to Naomi, the text says. And once again, Naomi pleads with Ruth to leave. She says in verse 15, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And there's some, I don't know that there's a real consensus to what really Naomi's heart is. I've read a couple of different opinions and I think both can be correct, but I would go to just a couple of verses before, and we see, I think, the heart of Naomi, at least to a degree. Naomi says this, would you therefore refrain from marrying? She's has just talked about there's no one, you know, from her line to marry right then and there. She says, no, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And so part of Naomi's heart here is to say, look, I'm scared that if you stay with me, you're going to die. Like the Lord's hand has gone out against me. I want what's best for you. And what's best for Naomi, her way in which she is loving her daughters-in-law, is to say, I want you to go back to where you have come from. And I think that brings up a really, really fascinating and challenging point for us, because there's a mistake that Naomi is making. You see, as Christians, we believe some crazy things. I don't know if you've thought about this, but we believe that sin exists in the world. We believe that all people have sinned, that all people have fallen short of the glory of God, and we also believe in a holy and perfect God. And the challenge with these two beliefs is that a holy and perfect God cannot be in the presence of sin. And so the problem we stand within is that on our own, we are sinful, and therefore we cannot be in the presence of a holy and perfect God. And what that means is that when this life comes to an end and our souls continue on, we will either be righteous before God and be able to be in the presence of God, and that only comes through faith in Jesus. There is no way to the Father except through Him, or we will be found guilty of our sin and we will be sentenced to separation from God forever, and we call that hell. And yet, I believe very often we actually make the same mistake as Naomi is making here. You see, the mistake that Naomi is making is that out of her love for her daughters-in-law, her love is expressing itself in a desire for safe circumstances, right? Her love is saying, no, go back to your family. And she literally says, go back to your gods. Because in Naomi's belief in this moment, the best way to love her daughter-in-law is to point her toward relative safety. You see, I think the challenge for us comes when we love someone deeply, it's easy to prioritize their situational security over their eternal destiny. You know, we say we want to love people, and we do. We do need to love people, but sometimes the way in which we love people is by, again, prioritizing their comfort, their security, by prioritizing not offending, by prioritizing feeling like we are at a relational harmony. And sometimes what happens is we actually don't share the thing that's most important for them and the thing that would actually reveal we truly love them. You see, if we truly believe the things that we believe, and we should truly believe them because Jesus walked out of the grave, that makes everything in the Bible true, by the way. Because we believe these things, what truly loving someone looks like is actually being willing to share the gospel, even if that risks relational harmony, or even if that forces someone to get out of their comfort zone, or even if that forces someone to say yes to a missional call in their life. You see, the greatest way we can love is by pointing people to Jesus. And I think that's just one thing from this passage that was so key in my own heart this week. I've got so many people that I care about and that I love. And I think sometimes I run the risk of relationshipping people into hell. And that's a strong word. But if I just end at friendship, am I really loving that person? So maybe that's a challenge for you today as you go into work or as you are at home or whatever it is you're doing. What would it look like to really love someone by sharing the gospel and by saying, hey, this is what I believe to be true. And this is what I'm clinging to. And because I care about you, I want to share that with you and just see what God does through that. You know, we say yes because God is faithful. And maybe this is one of our opportunities to say yes because God is faithful to save and to reach the one. So let's pray to that end today. I do want to say thanks for joining us on the Drivecast. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, we need courage, and Father, would you help us understand what it looks like to really love? To really love someone is not to shy away from the truths that we hold so true and dearly. That Jesus, you died, that you took upon yourself the punishment of our sin, and then you lived, and you live today, and you reign and rule right now in heaven, and we praise you for that. And so would you stir in our hearts in such a way that you would make it a priority for us to share what it is you've done because we believe it. And would you allow us to have fruit in that? Would you be working in our friends' hearts, our family's hearts, our coworkers' hearts so that they would say yes to you so that they can spend an eternity with you? God, we need you to do that in us by the power of your Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We love you. We praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.